Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, here we are. We are at the end, week three of our Vision 2030 series. And in week one, we rolled out our three targets, where we're headed under God. We want to be 1,000 people. We want to see one FIEC church established in Kempsey. We want to be in our mission home. That was week one. Week two, we focused on our mission, which comes directly from Jesus, to multiply and mature disciples of Jesus Christ. And so remember, vision, you know, it's what we see in the future. Mission is what we do. This week is how we're going to do it. So if strategy, if you like. Now, I've loved the last 3 weeks because in week one, we just didn't roll out the vision. We celebrated our 20th birthday. Can you believe that? 20 years, the Point has been here in Port Macquarie. I've also loved hearing all the discussion surrounding our vision and mission. It's great to hear our collective excitement. It's been great to hear the feedback and the concerns around the vision and mission. Prayers have already begun. There is excitement. There's expectation. It's growing. But we do not want this to be a flash in the pan moment of excitement. We want to get there. You know, we want to get to 2030, the end of 2030, and be a family of 1,000 people, of one church established in Kempsey, of one mission campus. And actually, we don't just want to get there, do we? We want to prayerfully, we want to prayer dependently get there. As we just heard from Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers, the builders, labor in vain. Now, it's very important we not only see where we're headed, that's the vision, we also need to know how that we're going to get there. We need a plan. We need a strategy. And before we get to the strategy, it's just worth re-emphasizing, restating a reminder from week one. We do not want to be a target-driven church. And yet, at the same time, we want to set targets. Otherwise, the busyness and the laziness of life will drown out, will distract us from what is really important. As Jesus' people, we are distraught that there are way too many souls in the Hastings bound for hell. And we long for every single Point family member to grow in the grace of God more and more and more. We are humble and hungry. We're humble and hungry. Only the Lord can build. Oh, but we want to be used by the Lord to build. And so today I'm going to run through our strategy for the building. Then I'm going to remind us that everyone has a part to play in the building of Jesus' church. And then we're going to finish the series where we began the series. The vision. The vision. So the strategy, everyone, the vision. Firstly, strategy. A strategy is just a plan. Everyone needs a plan. Everyone needs a strategy. Without a plan, the busyness or laziness of life distracts us from the really important things. So we've already heard this morning. Thank you. The craft cupboard. We start off excited, but we actually need the plan. And we need people to come alongside us and help us execute on the plan. The Point's strategy, the Point's plan, has two very clear foundations. And foundation number one is a clear definition of what a healthy disciple is, what a healthy church is. A healthy disciple is someone who treasures Jesus above all other treasures. A healthy disciple is someone who joins Jesus to save the lost, who grows deep in the Word, who serves Jesus and his church, who belongs to Jesus and his church. Treasure, save, grow, serve, belong, our five core purposes. Here's a definition of a healthy disciple, a definition of a healthy church. Each purpose is critical when it comes to the health of a disciple, the health of a church. We don't get to choose one, two, or three and leave the rest to somebody else. No. Remember from last week, Jesus commands that we teach all that Jesus has taught. So we have a biblical definition, we have a biblical target that we're aiming for when it comes to healthy disciple, healthy church. The second foundation of our strategy is our discipleship pathway. Now, if this is the first time you've seen it, if you've been to Start Point, this definitely isn't the first time you've heard what I just said or seen this. But the first time a Christian sees this, it's like this aha moment, a bit more of a no-duh moment. This just makes sense. This is what Christians do. We're looking for people who are nowhere near Jesus. They don't know us, we don't know them, they don't know Jesus. And as we make contact, one of the most loving things we can do is work out what they need. Are they not yet a Christian and they need Jesus, or are they a Christian and they need Jesus's family? And then there's the ongoingness of the pathway as we help each other grow in maturity and be sent out on mission. This just makes sense, doesn't it? This is our strategy. This is our discipleship pathway. This is what we do. This is the family business. Think about a person in the Hastings we don't know yet. They don't know us. We don't know them. Maybe he's homeless, destitute, alone. Maybe she's a multi-millionaire CEO. Maybe she's a prostitute. Maybe we're talking about a strong, healthy, fun-loving family. Maybe we're talking about somebody 75 years of age and has always lived here. Maybe we're talking about a recently arrived immigrant who's made to go regional as part of their visa application. The Hastings is 90,000 people and growing. Picture a person in the Hastings we don't know yet. Last week, we focused on our mission. Our mission: multiply and mature disciples of Jesus Christ. This week, we're looking at how we do it, our strategy. And it starts by going out, just like Jesus did, to seek and save the lost. Most of our 90,000 are lost. We have a lot of work to do. At the front end of our pathway, we must be constantly asking, who are we not reaching? Then, once we make contact with someone or they make contact with us, we need to lovingly, relationally, and quickly work out what they need. If they're not yet a Christian, they need Jesus. If they are a Christian, they need Jesus's family. So, Christian, not yet a Christian, top part of the pathway. Christian, bottom part of the pathway. Now, the bottom part of the pathway is for all of us, isn't it? Together as a family, there's just this ongoing nature of discipleship. We want to help each other more and more and more grow into the likeness of Jesus. Our plan, our strategy for achieving our vision, for staying laser-focused on mission, is our definition of a healthy church and our discipleship pathway. Our definition and our pathway help us stay focused on Jesus' mission. They help us keep the main thing the main thing. We have a plan. We have a strategy. Five purpose healthy discipleship pathway. That's just all been reminder, hasn't it? Because we've all gone to Star Point. All right. Now, as you can see from our next heading, everyone is involved. Everyone. Another way to put it, this is the family business. Let me show you from Ephesians that our strategy really is all hands on deck. I'm reading from Ephesians 4 again, but I'm going to read from verse 1. Before I do, I'm going to state the obvious. It's worth keep coming back to this. When we read the Bible, we're hearing from God. This is God's word. And when it comes to the beginning of Ephesians 4, God is actually telling us his design and his purpose for the church, for the local church. The two verses I really want to get to are verse 7 and verse 13, but I'm going to read from verse 1 so we hear the context. Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, so the Apostle Paul was in prison as he wrote this, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. That is the Ephesian way of saying, in Ephesians, that is the Ephesian way of saying, every single Christian has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Spirit. For what? Let's skip down to verse 11. And he, that is Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. So the speaking people in the church have the gift of the Spirit for teaching. But here it is, verse 12, to equip the saints, all of us, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And there's a comma after that. The sentence keeps going, but that verse 13 is big enough, isn't it? That is a beautiful picture. It's where I keep coming to when I need a mental picture of what is God doing with his church. This is a beautiful picture here in Ephesians 4. All of us, every single Christian, has the indwelling Holy Spirit. You have him. I have him. He is dwelling in you. He is dwelling in me. He is dwelling in us. And each of us brings our own personal strengths and weaknesses into our family. And each of us brings the power of the Holy Spirit for the building up of Jesus' church. Everyone. The building up of Jesus' church is the family business. And note the purpose. Note the target. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is a mouthful. It just simply means reaching the full maturity of Jesus Christ. And every time I read this verse out in a church context, I ask, anyone arrived? And none of us put up our hand. Brothers, sisters, this is a beautiful picture. Don't beat yourself up because you haven't reached the full maturity of Jesus Christ. None of us have. The family business is helping each other grow into that maturity. Discipleship is a direction, not a destination. And the direction is the likeness of Jesus Christ. You see, we need to see how beautiful Jesus is. Jesus is the treasure of our heart. The more accurately we see him, the more we will love him. And the more we love him, the more we will want to become like him. And God has given us each other for the task. Half of our family business is helping each other grow in maturity. Growing us in maturity. And there's more. There's the other half. Do you see for, at the end of verse 12, for building up the body of Christ? Peter O'Brien, in his commentary on Ephesians, says that building up has two images to it. There's two pictures here. There's the wide picture and there's the deep picture for building up. The wide picture is seeing more and more and more people become Christians. The deep picture is what we've just been talking about, us growing deeper and deeper and deeper into maturity in Christ. We're hearing God tell us our mission yet again. Our mission, our family business, is to multiply and mature disciples of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. Now, what does that mean for you and me? Three quick applications. You've heard them before. Time, talent, and treasure. Time, talent, and treasure. If building the church is the family business, make sure you give first and most to it. Give first and most to the building of Jesus' church. In terms of time, do an audit of your time. Where is your time allocated? Don't simply listen to Jesus, look to Jesus and hear what he has to say about building his church. As for talent, the Holy Spirit wants you to use your talents to grow Jesus' church. Have a look at our pathway. Where is it on the pathway of our disciple making that you go, yeah, I really love that bit of the pathway? And sign up for a ministry team in that space. Sign up to lead a ministry team in that space. Time, talent, and treasure. I might say a little bit more on treasure. We should be able to smash through our budget month by month. The problem is many of us do not give financially to our church. And out of those of us who do, we don't give that much. For centuries, Christians have lived and breathed with a 10% baseline for what it means to give to the building, financially give to the building of Jesus' church. And baseline. Like, through the centuries, Christians always want to do more, but there's the baseline. Because after all, everything we have is from the Lord. You know, right down to every cent and every sock that we wear is all from the Lord. And there's no greater cause to financially give to than the building of Jesus' church. But all the modern research indicates that Western Christians only give 3 to 4% of their income. We've actually gone down as we've become wealthier. You go do the research. It's real simple. Just type into ChatGPT. What do Western Christians tend to give? And they'll show you all the research they do. They bring it all. It grabs all the surveys around the place. We are more wealthy as Christians than we have ever been throughout history. And yet, we simply don't put our money where our mouth is. Now, if you don't believe me, here's If you are on the single age pension, which I understand at the moment is $30,646 annually, you're in the 12% wealthiest people in the world. Who would have thought? If you're a single person on $100,000, you're a 2%er. You're in the wealthiest 2% of the world. That's extraordinary, isn't it? This is humbling to get our heads out of Bill Gates and all those other guys and just think about the world. Okay. What is our strategy for multiplying and maturing disciples of Jesus Christ? Every single family member giving our time, talent, and treasure to building a church that treasures Jesus, that joins Jesus to save the lost, that grows deep in the Word, that serves Jesus and His church, that belongs to Jesus and His church. Our strategy is to meet people who are far from Jesus, see them saved, and as they are saved, become us to help us keep reaching and maturing. Okay, we need to wrap up. Not just today, but the entire three-week series. Kate and Tash have put together an excellent vision booklet. Don't start reading through it now, you'll switch off me. But you can grab it and do this if you're a bit hot. How's that? But definitely take it home. Please take it home, read through it, and use it to pray for God's power to grow us. And know this, that's a dangerous prayer. Because first and foremost, we're asking God to grow us, to grow you, to grow me, to grow us to become more and more and more like God. We're asking God to change us, to grow us. And it is also a dangerous prayer because we are asking God to save more and more and more of our friends. We long to see revival. Do you long to see revival? Do you long to see God save more people? I'm only starting to see a couple of nods, but they're growing. Do you want to see dozens of people saved, hundreds of people saved, thousands of people saved? Here is a real question, family. Do we long for revival? With that passion coursing through our veins, we look at our Vision 2030 again, 1,000 people. One FIEC church in Kempsey, one mission campus. Listen, 1,000 people is just God keeping doing what He's been doing. Over the last 10 years, we've grown by 10% a year. Go home, do the math, 676, 10% a year from now to the end of 2030, you'll discover it's actually 1,100. I know some of you are thinking 1,000 sounds so big, perhaps too big. It's been helpful to hear the feedback. I know some of you are thinking like that. I think there was one suggestion of, oh, mission campus, cool. That's how we can do the 1,000 people. Some can go to the mission campus, the rest of us can stay here. Let's not get too big. To which one person said, great, I bags the mission campus. I get it, but let me say this. Here's the bad news for those of you thinking you're a little daunted by the 1,000. You're stuck with a pastor who thinks it's too small. We're only talking 300 more people than today. And we know logically in our heads, many of them will actually be Christians who move to Port Macquarie. So we're not even talking necessarily 300 new Christians. And by 2030, the Hastings is almost 100,000 people. There is a big part of me that feels like this is such a tiny vision. As a matter of fact, as I prepared this week, I felt embarrassed before the Lord. And so there's the bad news for those of you who think 1,000 is too big. Here's the good news. And here's what we hope you heard over the last 3 weeks. We're not interested in simply growing wider. We are committed to growing deeper. Each and every family member belonging, having and knowing their place, not just in the kingdom, but in our family. See, we're not just a church with small groups. We are a church of small groups. And as for the Kempsey church plant, that's just 10 years overdue as far as I'm concerned. Church planting is what we do. Our Kempsey church plant, our Kempsey point group, it's growing. You know, it's time. Lots and lots has come together. And so let's be praying. Over the next 3 months, let's be praying. The Kempsey church plant is up and running by the end of the year, this year. And yes, the mission campus, it's huge. It will take an enormous sacrifice on our part. There's no hiding behind that. The mission campus in 5 years' time is huge, but we cannot. We must not leave that burden to our children. It's time to build our home. And here's the thing. Our Vision 2030, it's simply a small step in light of the vision. Do you remember the vision from week one? Oh, how grand is the vision. The vision's God's vision. Revelation 7 verse 9. After this I looked and behold. So here's the Apostle John looking. He's seeing God's vision. This is the vision. A great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Who are we? We are a Bible-centered, prayer-dependent, cross-shaped church committed to multiplying and maturing disciples of Jesus Christ. And unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. I want nothing to do with the vanity, but I want everything to do with the building. Amen? Amen. So let's pray for God's blessing. Oh, Father God, you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. You spoke and a universe existed. You sent your Son and the lost have been saved. Father, we now have your gospel. We now have your mission. And we pray that you would fill us with a great expectation, a great excitement to be sharing your good news with our friends, of getting alongside each other and pointing each other to keep holding on to Jesus. And Father, we pray that you would keep us humble and you would keep us hungry, because we want this to be about you and for you alone, but we want to find our greatest joy in serving you. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.